Thanks for coming. Got a lot of people out of town. I got a message from Greer saying that at least last I heard everybody had arrived safely there. Praise God. Looks like, I think we were looking at the weather report a little while ago on the way to church, and it looks like they're in for maybe a little bit of mixed bag here sometime over the next few days. Yuck. I mean, how many of you guys are ready for spring? Amen. Oh, me too. Me too. Just one thing real quick before we start. I don't know if the email went out to the whole congregation or just the pastors concerning Pastor Tony and the death of his sister. Did anyone? Okay, Pastor Tony's sister, you may have be aware, has been very ill for the past 7 to 8 months, has been on her deathbed for quite a while. She passed a couple of days ago. I don't remember exactly which day. Adele, do you remember that? No, me either, sorry. So just remember them during this time. I mean, it's been a lot of time with prayer and her, and just she's a believer, went to be with Jesus, so praise God for that. The sad part of it is some of the family members, ex-Calvary Temple members, are taking opportunity with this to bring some real opposition, just some real demonic, negative stuff, nasty things toward the mother, toward the church, toward Pastor Jim, toward Pastor Scott. Some of these kind of things. So just really lift up that congregation, lift up Pastor Tony, that his hands, wouldn't grow weary, and Mama Karen and Pastor Tony's mother, all of these people. Just remember them. Amen. The enemy never quits. This should be a time of celebration. She's gone home, and the enemy just doesn't want to let things go sometimes. So just believe God. Amen. Praise God. Well, tonight, the title of tonight's message is Thy Kingdom Come. So why don't you turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Once again, if I sound like I start slurring when I talk too fast, just look at me and wave your hand or something. I'm still slightly self-conscious about that, and I think sometimes, I don't know if people are just deaf or if I can't talk right, but sometimes I'm not clear, so just, I know I say that every time I get up here, which hasn't been that much, but I will try to enunciate the best that I can. Matthew chapter 6, and we will start, I guess, in verse 9. You all know this as the Lord's Prayer. Pray then in this way: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Don't lead us in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What I'm focusing it on tonight is thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I said, that's the title of tonight's message. I know where we're going to take off. I'm not completely sure where we're going to land. I got all this red ink here I wrote down. Doesn't always mean anything once we start talking. But, I used to read this verse probably strictly in the eschatological. That particular passage, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I used to read that specifically from an eschatological perspective. Well, we're praying for the return of the Lord Jesus. And to be certain, that is an appropriate evaluation and interpretation of what is being said there. But it means so much more than that. So much more than that. It's speaking about the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus said the kingdom of God is in your midst and shall be within you. This is all New American Standard stuff. It's in your midst and it shall be in you. The kingdom of God is now inside of us through the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not going to be a teaching on prayer or on the infilling of the Holy Spirit or any such things. It's going to be who we are and how the kingdom of God is manifest on earth as it is in heaven through us today. What makes the difference? How is this kingdom seen? You know, Jesus said, a city on a hill, you can see that thing from a long ways away, can't you? Any of you guys, you've heard me talk about the mountains before. One of my favorite places on earth is Skyline Drive, the Blue Ridge Mountains. I absolutely adore that. I've been going there since I was a small child. And, you know, one thing that's really cool, if you're down in the valley, you look up at night, a nice clear night, and you can just see all the lights on the top of the mountains. You can see the cities up there. Or if you're on top of the mountains, you look down into the valleys, and you can look down at Waynesboro, wherever you happen to be, Front Royal, Staunton, wherever you are at the moment, looking down into those valleys. And all of the lights, they're just illuminated, and you can see that thing. Any of you guys who like airplanes, you look down and you fly at night and you see the lights. You know, that city on the hill, you could see it. You could see the kingdom of God. The nation of Israel, was intended to be that city on a hill. They were intended to be, a people where God put his own name, a city where God put his own name. They were to go to drive out the inhabitants of the land. You guys gotta excuse me, I'm not undressing, I promise. I just, you know, gotta do what I gotta do here. They were intended to be the people who are a light to all the nations. It was never intended to be exclusive to the people of Israel. That God chose these people and these were his people and these people only. They were to draw all nations. They were to see and to show forth the glory of God. That all the nations would come to Yeshua. They would come to Yahweh, the God of Israel. They would see the Shekinah glory in the temple. They would see him there in Jerusalem. They would see the hearts of the people if they just fulfilled his word and his law and kept his precepts and his ordinances. I spent a lot of time. We're not going to go there tonight, but in the 119th Psalm over the past week or so, just reading these things, thy precepts, thy words, I meditate on them. And you know, the whole, however many verses that is, I don't know exactly. It's 3 pages of my Bible. Now, depending on how small your writing is, might be less. But if they had just kept his ways and kept his precepts, then all the nations would have been drawn to them. They would have seen the God of heaven and the earth, the creator of the heavens and the earth. They would have seen the light. They would have seen the difference. This is a people who is different. Their God is different than the gods that we have. And they would draw men to themselves because of that. They would draw them to the God of Israel. And that was their function. That was their purpose. That is why God chose them and selected them to be this people who showed this forth, to show this forth. We don't need to go through the entire history of Israel, but we know that they did not do this. There were faithful individuals contained within that nation who were faithful. There were faithful prophets. There were some faithful kings. There were the judges. And there were some righteous and faithful men and women contained within that. But as a nation, as a people, as a whole, they did not do this. Their prophets were sent to them continually. They did not keep the precepts of the Lord. They did not keep his ways. They were careful to tithe mint and anise and cumin, right? But the weightier matters of the law, justice, judgment, mercy, grace, these type of things, they did not do as a nation, as a whole. They didn't keep his Sabbaths, the Shabbats, the 7 years, Sabbaths of the Lord. And we're not going to go into all of that. They didn't keep the years of Jubilee, like ever. You know, they didn't let anybody out of anything. You owe me, you owe me. They didn't move in the grace and in the mercy of the Lord. They didn't do his precepts. They didn't reflect his glory, who he is and what he was about and what he was trying to show the nations, what he was trying to reveal about himself to the peoples of the world. I've been serving the Lord 32, 33 years now. And I believe I've served him with my whole heart most of the time. But I am just now, honestly, it's been in the past couple of years, just now beginning to understand what the kingdom of God really is and what it's all about. Man, I got some Bible knowledge, I hope to tell you, just like most of you do. And some of you are way far more advanced in some of these areas we're going to talk about tonight. The same things we've been talking about for the past 6 months. So don't despise the manna because you got to eat it again today. Okay? So some of you have been walking in this much longer than I have and have had a greater understanding of the kingdom of God possibly than I have. But it's only been in recent months that I've really just begun to scratch the surface to understand what the revelation of the character of God is supposed to be in my life, who he is in us, who we are to be in our reflection to the world. I mean, I've always been faithful to preach the gospel and these kind of things. I've always been faithful to thunder the word of God when it needed thundering and these kind of things. But how to walk in the character of the Lord, how we are to conduct ourselves day to day among ourselves, among the people of the world. I think, you know, in some areas, personally, I have strained at gnats and swallowed some camels. I've done some good stuff. But at the same time, I think there were some larger things that the Lord emphasizes and that he says are important than my own life. I'm like, how did I kind of miss over that? You know, that whole part, the mercy, the love, the unity, the oneness, how is that achieved? How do we go about it? What does it even look like? I mean, the things I've always prayed for is more understanding, more knowledge. Lord, give me, you know, show me your word, show me your ways. He's been trying to show me his ways. He's been trying to show you his ways. Okay? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. You just heard Pastor quoting this. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. The ways of a man, what seems right to us, is not right at all. It's not right at all. The way we react, our natural reactions to things, to people, to situations, is not how God reacts or chooses to react or teaches us to react. So we're going to look at some of this stuff tonight. As I said, I know where we're taking off. I'm not sure where we're going to land. John 13, real quick, just going to hit some of these. Verse 34, none of this, you're used to hearing us quote a lot of these scriptures tonight that we're going to be looking at. John 13, 34, again, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And you've heard us expound on this a little bit before. Remember the greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the second's like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. On these hang all the law and all of the prophets. We know this. We know this. And then Jesus came, and I used to say he gave the 11th commandment. You know, that he one-upped it. What he really did is explained it and demonstrated it to us in his life, in his person, every single day as he walked on this earth. Love one another as I have loved you. Again, this is not new doctrine. We've taught on this many times. Because Jesus will love us more than we love ourselves, actually. He walked that out and demonstrated that to us. A 100% selflessness given over, 100% will given over to the Father and devoted to the people whom God gave to him and offered himself up for us, for each and every one of us. When we weren't out looking for him, he looked for us and he found us. Amen? Aren't you glad? You know, I wasn't looking for Jesus when he found me. I wasn't looking for him at all. I was looking for all kinds of things. As the song says, looking for love in all the wrong places. And he came down and he found me and he looked for me and he woke me up and said, hey boy, hey, listen up. I want to talk to you. And he did, and he showed himself to me, and been with him ever since. He's been with me, rather, ever since. But he said, love one another as I have loved you. Okay? We're pretty good to ourselves overall, but we still see through a glass darkly. We still, our minds need to be renewed every day by the word. We need to be transformed into the image of Jesus. We're still so influenced by the world that we live in, by this nature that we were born with each and every day. We honestly, in and of ourselves, don't have the ability to fulfill this commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, because we don't really see clearly and understand because of our nature and who we have been. And we've got to see past that and through that to understand how God sees us and how God sees his people and how God wants us to see him and how God wants to live that out through one another. I mean, we do the best we can most of the time. I mean, there's even people who are not saved who are quote unquote good people. And you understand what I mean when I use the word good. They're not good people, but they're good people. Good moral people doing the best they can. They try to be good to their kids, take them skating, take them to soccer, do all kinds of good things. Try to give them what, you know, they never had. Try to give them a better life. Try to be kind to all fish, animals, and birds, and, you know, all of those kind of things. But Jesus took it so much further and showed us so much more of who and what we really are to be and what the meaning of those commandments are. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You've looked at this a million times. Turn to Exodus 34. And you know where we're going with this one, probably. And then this, of course, is where Moses entreats the Lord, look, show me your glory. Show me who you are. Let me understand. Let me see your face. And, of course, we know he says, you can't see my face because you'll die. I'll show you my hinder parts. But I'm going to walk by and I'm going to declare myself to you. You want to see the glory of God? Let me demonstrate to you what the glory of God is. Now, Moses probably had no idea what he was in for. You know, when I think about wanting to see the glory of God, I think about the beauty of his radiance and all of these kind of things. I think about the visions of Isaiah and the visions of John and the book of Revelation and the visions of, who else? Ezekiel and some of these guys, the visions of Enoch, you know, who actually saw from a great distance, the throne of God. The Lord didn't show himself to Moses, didn't declare himself, reveal himself to Moses in that way. Of course, we know the cloud came down over the mountains and obscured him. And he stood there with Moses, and then he walked by. He stuck him in the cleft of the rock, put his hand over him, walked by him, and he let him see his hindward parts. We've talked about this many times. But when he said, show me your glory, this is what he wanted us to understand about who and what his glory is. And the Lord descended in the cloud, and he stood there with him, and he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him, and he proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgressions, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. And Moses makes haste to bow down. So when he said, show me your glory, reveal yourself to me, what did he reveal? What did he say about himself? You want to see who I am? You want to understand me? You want to discern me? This is what I want you to see. You can see my light. You can see my radiance. You can see my brilliance. And that's all good. And that's more overwhelming than we can ever comprehend. It hasn't even entered into our minds, the beauty of the Lord. But that's his appearance. This is his nature. This is his character. You want to see who I am? This is who I am. Compassionate, gracious, slow to anger. This is the glory of the Lord. Compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, keeping loving kindness for thousands. That's the glory of the Lord. That's the radiance of the Lord. I'm beginning to understand, beginning, scratching the surface to understand what the glory of the Lord is. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For sure, the Lord's word is fulfilled in the heavens, in the heavenly places where the angelic host dwells and all of the creatures and things that we have no idea about because the word of God doesn't see fit to show it to us. We don't need to know. And his word is done. Absolutely, in heaven. Here on this earth, his word goes forth. It fulfills what it's been sent to do. It doesn't return to him void. But there's a whole lot of people who don't obey the word of God right now. But can his word be done? Can it be done on earth as it is in heaven today? And the answer to that, I'm beginning to understand, is absolutely, yes, it can. Not in the sense that the kingdom now, people, we're not going to rise up. We're not going to take over anything. We're not going to take over a government. We're not going to infiltrate this world system. That's going to get worse and worse. It belongs to Satan anyway. Who wants to get it, infiltrate that? Right? Who cares? Don't want to be part of it. Not like the Catholic Church who felt we need to subdue this entire earth and bring them under our dominion, and that's going to be the glory of the church. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The word of God reveals to us that is going to be done during the millennial reign when he comes back in person, destroys all of the wicked, establishes his kingdom in Jerusalem, and rules the nations with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. That's when the earth will be subdued. And even then, there's rebellion in the hearts of men. It's not revealed till the last time when Satan's released for a short period of time. They surround Jerusalem. Then it's all destroyed. He makes a new heavens and a new earth. That's good stuff. I want to be part of that. Amen. Amen. But his earth can be established, his earth, his kingdom can be established in this earth now within the church, within our hearts, with what Israel was originally intended to be, with what the church is now intended to be, a city on a hill. That is who and what we are, to show the light and show the glory forth of the Lord. How do we do that? Well, we do it with signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen, to be sure. We do. We believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. We're praying and believing God for this. How many guys would like to see some miracles? You guys want to see some miracles? Want to see some healings? How many of you guys are praying for that? How many of you guys are praying for greater manifestations of the supernatural and the spirit, for the spiritual gifts to flow and these kind of things, for discernment and knowledge and wisdom and all of these things? Amen. I absolutely am believing God and praying to the Lord for those things. But there's something else that I'm praying for myself even more intently for that. And that is the bond of the unity of the Spirit with all of us. My prayer life has taken a drastic change over the last number of months. Not only has it increased exponentially in time, because it's not about that. It's not about when you pray, whether you stay up late or whether you get up or whether you do it in the middle of the day. Content. And I'm not going to give you a formula of what I pray and how, because I don't have a formula. Every day is different. Every day is new. But I will let you understand the nature of the things that dominate my, if you want to call it, lack of better, petition time. You know, when I'm not being quiet and hearing from the Lord, or it's not just praise and worship and those parts of prayer, when I'm like making petition for the Lord, my prayers go along this line. And of course, there's a lot of things that have to do with character that we're going to look at some of these things that we've also been covering for the last number of months. But it has to do with things like, Father, make us, talking about right this minute, pastors and the pastoral staff. Make us one in purpose and unity, and to be sure we are, so I don't want to paint a wrong picture there. But give us a love and a unity and a bond that we've never had. Increase our relationships. Let us be one mind, one purpose, in perfect submission to the will of God and submission to our leaders. Loving the people, caring for the people, working one in unity. No jealousy, no strife, no bitterness. Lord God, make us an example before the people. Let them see the love and the unity that we have for one another. Not that they're not differences. You know, you can have differences and not be in strife. Amen. You can have different opinions and still not cause division in the body of Christ about it. Not that we're not clones, you know, of one another. We're to imitate the faith of those. We're not clones. We can have differences. We can have viewpoints and these kind of things on non-eternal, non-essential matters that absolutely mean nothing. But at the end of the day, can you put those aside, no matter what they are? And the love of God and the humility and the mercy of the Lord is what dominates more than anything else. And more than anything else, what you want is unity and oneness and purpose and for God to be glorified and reflected in everything that you say and everything that you do. My prayers have been along those lines. It's been the same for the deacons. It's been the same for the people, for the husbands and the wives and the children, for the marriages, for my wife and myself. These are the kind of things. Let the kingdom of God be revealed in me. Let the glory of God show forth. This is the city that's on a hill. Okay? By this all men shall know that you're my disciples, the love that you have for each other. I just paraphrased that, sorry. That is the revelation of the Lord that is to shine forth from us. Can the kingdom of God be established on this earth right now? Yes, it can, within the walls, the confines of this body. It absolutely can and will. It can and will if each and every one of us does our part. And submitting ourselves in humility and our devotion to one another. Let's look at some of these scriptures. Let's go to Romans 12. There's a lot we could go to, and I certainly will not get to most of them. Romans 12, I'm going to start in verse 9, and this covers a lot of little different subjects. I may stop and comment on some we're just going to keep moving. Verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. I want to focus on this a little bit. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. In diligence for what? In preferring one another. Okay? Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We're going to stop right there for a moment. Be devoted to one another. Word devotion just doesn't mean get along with. That's not what that means. Devoted denotes a deep commitment, a vow, if you please. A sacrificial giving of oneself, an abandoning of oneself, to the greater hall, to the greater good, the greater whole, to the greater body. Be devoted. How many of you, and I'm not looking for raising hands, this is for you to evaluate yourself as the Lord's been sifting me and evaluating me, so you evaluate yourselves and allow the Lord to do so. Do you feel that you are really, really devoted, given to the body of Christ? I don't mean given to your ministry. Well, I'm given to the toddlers. Absolutely. I'm given to the car outreach. I'm given to these things and I do my part and all these kind of things. It's not what I'm talking about. We've all got jobs. We've all got responsibilities. We've all got duties in the body of Christ as God has placed us in this body. I'm not asking you, are you devoted to your responsibility or your assignment? I'm asking you, in a pure heart of love, are you devoted to the person in the chair next to you? Are you devoted to the people upstairs? Are you devoted to the people back there in the back? People that you don't really know all that well on a social, personal level. Are you devoted to that individual? Have you given yourself over to Christ enough to the point where they are more important than yourself? Or you are preferring that person over yourself? Where you will sacrificially love and give and pray for, lift up the weary hands, cry with, laugh with, comfort, encourage, if need be, admonish, restore. Are you there enough to get past your own self and your own embarrassment and your own feelings of inadequacy to put yourself out there for that other individual and that other person, to surrender yourself enough to the will of God to say, I'm going to love my neighbor as Jesus loved me. As Jesus loved me, and what example did he give? He gave himself on the cross. Are we there? Are we there yet? I'm not there yet. I am there yet, and I'm not there yet. I'm there yet in my heart. I want to be there. I'm there in the sense that, Lord, I see that I am lacking in this area. People get on my nerves. I get on my own nerves. I'm being honest. It doesn't matter. That's self-righteousness and pride and arrogance at its very core. That doesn't matter. We are all so different. Every one of the pastors is different. We have different folks. It's very interesting when you look at it, the diversity that he's given us and the different giftings that he's given us. It's actually amazing and how it all fits and works together in such a good harmony and a good flow and a good unity. And so among you, we are so different from one another and our preferences and our likes and our dislikes. You can't have the mentality within yourself, well, this guy likes to fish and I like to play video games. Therefore, we'll probably never ever really hang out or really spend much time together. That's not the body of Christ. That's not the spirit of the Lord. That's not devoted and given to one another. So you don't like fishing, don't go fishing. You don't like video games, don't go to video games. Hey, why don't we go to lunch? Everybody likes to eat. You can still have fellowship with one another. You can still get to know one another. If you don't want to know one another, how do you know the needs that you have in each other's lives? How do you know the strengths? How do you know the shortfalls? How do you know where pieces need shoring up? If you're so selfish and you're so into your little world and you just hang out with the exact same people every single night when service is over, you go to the exact same two people that you always talk to and you never go outside of that and somebody comes and tries to, you know, walk by and wave and you're just like... Keep talking to that other person. I see it. I see it happen. I'm guilty. I do it sometimes. Does anybody else do it? Don't raise your hand. Does anybody else do that? Are you devoted and given to one another? Are you given to this body of Christ? We are to be one mind, one purpose, one people. We're not all going to hang out together all the time because there's not enough hours in the day. There's not enough hours in the week. I understand that. We cannot all have the same closeness in terms of familiarity, but we can all have the exact same devotion and surrender to each and every individual in here that Jesus had to you, because each and every person in here was created in the image of God. Each and every person under the sound of my voice right now, I believe, is regenerated and born again. I hope so. If not, fix that tonight. And they all belong to the Lord. And when you talk to them, you're talking to Jesus. Because Jesus lives inside of that person. I don't care how weird they are. I'm a weird dude. And I'm funny looking. Rejoice in hope, verse 12. Rejoice in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Are you devoted? There's that word again. Again, I'm using a New American Standard. I don't recall what the King James word is right there. What is the word in King James to devote? Continue. Okay, the word is actually devote. Devote yourself to prayer. Give yourself over to prayer. We've been talking about prayer a lot. We've been talking about prayer a whole lot. We've been talking about prayer not just being, Lord bless this person, Lord bless that person, but a giving of yourself over to the Lord, a surrendering of yourself over to His presence, to His will, not just going into the presence with God with an agenda, with an itinerary. Let the Lord speak to you. I promise you, if you listen to him and you genuinely go in there to seek Him without an agenda, the things that you've been hearing from the pulpit, you're going to begin to hear in that still quiet voice inside of you. He's going to begin to show you your place in the body of Christ. No, not I'm going to go to such and such a city and do such and such a thing. Not I'm going to take part in such and such a ministry. But how you can minister and love, how the areas in your life that are there. You know, prayer is not a whipping fest. It isn't. You don't go to prayer and the Lord just beats you up. Some people have that mentality. Lord, okay, show me my heart. Show me how messed up I am today. No, it isn't. The presence of God is life and invigoration to your heart, to your spirit. You touch the living God, new life comes into you. New life. The very nature of God begins to infuse your nature. And does, by contrast, it show up all your spots and wrinkles? Yeah, it does. But you don't need to sit there and beat yourself up over each and every one of them. Lord, I surrender myself to your will. Created me a new heart. Changed me. Conformed me into your image. That's a prayer that is not for the lighthearted. It's not for the faint. It's not for the weak. If you mean it, He will do it. Trust me. He will do it. Lord, make me like you. I want to be like you. Okay. Here we go. And this is what's going to cost you. Have you counted the cost? Are you ready? If you are devoted to prayer and to the presence of God, you will be ready, because He will make you ready and He will enable you to do what needs to be done, to surrender yourself, contributing to the needs of the saints, verse 13, practicing hospitality. Again, I'm not going to stop on each and every one of these. Got a lot of scriptures that we may not get to, as I said. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. There is so much in verse 16. We could spend 2 weeks just on this one verse, and we're going to spend a little bit of time. Be of the same mind toward one another. Listen, as we said, you can have differences of opinions on certain things, okay? That does not mean that there's a lack of unity or there's a division or a schism in the body. And you don't need to sit there and try to beat your differences down to the place where you just get frustrated. And we've all got to be of the same mind. We've all got to believe the exact same things. Yes, we do, as it turns to pertains to salvation and the Word of God and these kind of things. But we're not going to get into disputable matters, but there's so many of them. And we create them all the time. We create new things to dispute about all the time. Things you're like, why are we even going to talk about this? Why is this that's even a thing? You know, this is a thing. Why is this even a thing? You may have differences of opinion on certain things that are non-eternal, non-essential. You don't have to try to all make each other like green shirts. It's okay if you like a blue shirt or a red shirt. That's not what it's talking about. It's one mind given in devotion to the common purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the furtherance of that, and the seeing one another make it into the eternal kingdom of His glory. Helping one another along, preferring one another, entreating one another, encouraging one another, strengthening one another, lifting up those feeble hands, praying with those who need prayer. Be of one mind, one purpose. We're here to glorify God. We're here to pursue His kingdom. That's the one mind, the one purpose, and on that we could all get on board. It doesn't matter if you like rap music and I like reggae. I don't like either one of them. First thing that popped into my mind, I don't know why. Those things do not matter. That's not what's being spoken to here. We're not all going to all like the same things. How many of you guys like killing deer? No. My boy, that's my man right there. All right. How many of you guys don't? Some of y'all are just like vacillating between, how long halt you between two opinions? What's wrong? Taste and see for the deer are good. We don't all have to have the same interests and likes. That's not what's meant by pursuing the unity. And some people will get into all kinds of division and strife over these non-essential, non-eternal type things. You're never going to do that. God created us to be different. Praise God for diversity. We would be boring if we were all the same. If everybody was like me, it would be a boring, messed up world. It would. It really, really would. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind. So much we could talk about that, because the subject of pride is vast. It is huge. Being haughty in your mind manifests itself in a whole lot of ways. I think the next sentence here, the next part of this sentence, I think reveals part of it. But associate with the lowly and do not be wise in your own estimation. Associate with the lowly. Somebody in your mind that's not quite as cool as you are. That's not quite, you know, I don't like what they like. They like flowers. I don't like flowers. They're nerdy. They're weird. They're strange. They like, I don't know. They don't brush their hair the way I like. I don't like the clothes they wear. They're just, you know, they're just a half a bubble off. They're different. No, humble your mind. Humble yourself. Associate. You think that person is less than you? Then you need to associate with that person. You need to humble yourself and realize that person is better than you are. Scripture says, consider everybody is more important than yourselves. That person is more important than yourself. My job is to help that person into the kingdom of God. My job is to love that person. Not like a martyr. If you have the martyr mentality, you've done nothing. You've accomplished nothing. All right. I'll go hang out with Pastor Les because, I mean, we're to associate with the lowly. Okay. Pastor Les, you want to go to lunch? I'll pay. If you have that attitude, don't bother. I'm going to go to lunch you anyway. Not as a martyr. From a genuine, pure heart. If you don't have that heart, you remember, I do believe, help my unbelief. You know? Anybody who's lacking wisdom, let them ask God. Ask without doubting. Don't be tossed to and fro, unstable, not thinking you're going to receive anything from God. A sincere genuineness of heart. Well, how do I get that? You get it in His presence. I don't have it without that. This is being created in me now. It's being created in me. It's wonderful. It really, really is. It's wonderful. I see people differently now than I've ever seen people. You know? I've always, as I told you, I'm my father's son. I'm not going to get into all my father was. But he was less than kind to people most of his life until he got regenerated. Now he's a nice guy. Didn't used to be. Being in the presence of God, hearing these teachings and making a decision. Now, I'm not doing this myself, and you can't do it yourself either. It's making the decision. Lord, I want to be like you. I want to see your kingdom established. I want to see your name glorified. I want to lift up the name of Jesus to draw them into myself. Not just with your words. Sometimes our words are so loud they knock people down because our lives are so out of order. They can't hear a thing you're saying when you're telling them all about Jesus. You're so messed up, you're full of strife at work and bitterness and talking this and talking that and just as rude as you can be. Not associating with certain people. All of those kind of things. How do you do it? How do you get this genuine love of God? You don't have to hit a guardrail. You don't. You don't have to have some awful, tragic thing in your life take place. You don't have to lose your whole family for this to happen. You don't have to have some horrific event take place in your life. These things woke me up. Okay, good. You can choose it right this minute. You can choose the love of God. Lord, please help me to understand your love. Make me like you. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Give me a love. Give me an understanding. Give me a compassion. Lord, I don't know how to go in or how to go out. I don't know how to love your people. I don't know how to be a good dad. I don't know how to be a good wife. I don't know how to be a good husband. I don't know how to be a good child. I don't know how to be a good pastor. I don't know how to be a good deacon. But Lord, you do. I don't know what your people need. Show me. Give me an understanding how I can help and ministry to your people. And that is the kind of prayer he will answer. And he will begin to change and renew you from the inside and create the image of Jesus in you. I didn't look very much like Jesus most of my life as a Christian, saved on my way to heaven. And God is merciful and God is gracious. But now he's got us on this pursuit. You know, Pastor told us the other day, a couple of weeks ago, Satan's not going to get us from without. And we've mentioned this numerous times over the past number of weeks. But he can get us from within. With the strife, with the bitterness, with the haughtiness, with the divisions that can come in. And Satan looks to bring them in so many different ways. So many different ways among us. You must choose every day to humble yourself and to love your brother and your sister more than yourself. You know, the WWJD, we make fun of that sticker, WWJD, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in this situation? It's a silly bumper sticker, but the principle is good. How did Jesus react toward this individual in this situation? How did he react toward this brother and sister? This person over there, that I don't want anybody to see me talking to him. I mean, they might think we're friends. They might think we're cool. They might look at me funny. They might not want to hang out with me anymore. That's sin. That's darkness. That's the devil. And it's in us. And maybe you're not bound by that. A lot of people are. A lot of people are. And it's demonstrated every day in our lives is how we associate or choose to not associate with one another. Or give a cursory hello, nod of the head, instead of a genuine interest, instead of a genuine love, instead of a genuine care. See, we have to look different than the rest of the world. What is it about us that's different? We can come in here every day and meet and praise God and sing and outreach and do car shows and do soccer camps and basketball camps and Easter resurrection services, and we can go out witnessing door to door when you're once a month or whatever it is, once a year with your home fellowship group or whatever it is, and do all of these things and preach this gospel and preach it in sincerity. But there must be something different about us. Is it like that on your job? Do people see and know there's something different about you? Not just by what you say, but by what you do, what they see, what's demonstrated. Let's go that direction a little bit there. Wasn't planning on going there this early, but turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Because, yeah, I'm actually burning up some time here. Verse 11, I'm going to go through this a little more quickly. Beloved, I urge you, as aliens and strangers, to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Verse 12, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evil, they may, on account of the good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. I want to hit a couple more of these before I expound much more. We did the Colossians 4:5 actually the other day in the service, in the panel. Talking about how to conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders. And we expounded upon it a little bit. But listen, how do you conduct yourselves on your job? As we mentioned in the panel, again, we are to be different. Remember, the kingdom of God is here. It's in you. It's within you through the person of the Holy Spirit, through the regenerated spirit that God has given you, that lives within you. Now, you are different. You are changed. You are transformed. You put off the old man and you become the new man. So what's different? Can they see the difference? Did they just hear your words and they see something different? What is different about you at work? Do you act like them because I'm among the Gentiles, I'm among the heathen? And the things that I do toward the body of Christ, my kindness, my benevolence, my goodness toward my brothers and sisters, well, that's kind of where it stops. Outside of the walls of this sanctuary, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. Boy, I tell you what, my boss, he's a heathen, and he doesn't get anything right, and I know more than he does, and I should get a promotion, and I was passed over, and this person said this about me over at the water cooler. You know what I'm going to do then? I'm going to write them up. I'm going to have them. There's so many things that we do without even thinking about it toward the outsiders, and they're seeing this. Well, you're just like me. I heard you gossiping about such and such and so and so, how they're not doing their job, and you could do a better job, or they should be fired, or why are they in this person's with that person? The gossip that goes on, the lack of forgiveness, the ability when you're at work, the ease of which we just loose our tongues. You know, we've talked about the taming of the tongue, how no man can tame the tongue, but who can tame it? God can tame it. He can tame it. And it's through time in his presence. It's through not just reading this word, but applying it into your life and making these decisions each and every day. You can choose to not respond in kind toward the world. Are they God haters? Yes, they're God haters. And guess what? So were you once upon a time. Even those of you who were born into Calvary Temple and raised here, at some point in time, you had to give your life to Jesus. That you were unregenerated, and all of the sin in all of the world, you were born with the sins of Adam are in your members. They are there. You are the chief of sinners, just like me. I'm the chief of sinners, and so are you. We all fall short of the mark. And thank God that someone shared the gospel with you. Thank God that he showed you his mercy. Thank God that he showed you his grace. So now that you've received his grace as a gift, it is a gift. You didn't earn it. You're not better than they are now. in that sense. You are just as dependent on the blood of Jesus today as you were before you got saved and you needed his salvation. You need him each and every day of your life. You need his grace. You need his mercy. Let him take that away and you're bound for eternal darkness and damnation. That's the estate of these individuals. They were still created in the image of God. He died so that they could live. Do you see that? Or you just want to have your way? Do you just want to vindicate yourself? Do you feel you could treat them like trash because they're not Christians? They're going to remember that. They're going to see that. And peradventure, they do get born again. They won't forget that. You know, do you remember when this time at work, you did such and such and so and so, and I said this, and you reacted, and you yelled at me and got mad? What kind of a testimony do we have among the heathen, among the Gentiles, among those on the outside? How do we conduct ourselves? Remember, what did Jesus, the Theophany God, reveal about himself in Exodus 34? Who was he? Full of what? Loving kindness, compassionate, gracious. He's forgiving. He's merciful. Is that reflected in your life? Is that what they see? Is that what they see here? Do they see a self-righteous individual? Do they see a harsh individual? Is there any distinction at all? Is there any distinction at all that they could see other than your words that you're saying and maybe your bumper sticker on your car? Honk if you love Jesus. I can remember all the guys I think have taught on it at one point in time when Pastor John taught on it. I mentioned it in his teaching, stands out in my mind, how the children spoke the language of Ashdod. And there was no distinction between the people of God there in Jerusalem and the nations. That you couldn't tell the difference. The people had the name of Jesus. They had the name of their Lord. They had the name of their God. They had the title that they were somebody. But in actuality and in reality, that was not lived out and demonstrated in their lives day to day. Are you different? Can they look at you and say, that person is different? That person has something, and I want to know what it is. How is it that when the boss comes down on them so hard and makes demands for them that's unreasonable, requires things that they shouldn't do, how is it that they can look up and smile at them with grace and just say, yes, sir, no, ma'am, I'll do my best. I'm sorry I didn't achieve. How is it that when everybody in the office is talking bad about them, they don't respond in kind? How is it when we try to get under their skin and kind of poke them in the ribs a little bit and kind of try to get a reaction out of them, they don't react the same way? They don't repay evil for evil. How is it that they don't partake of that with us? What is different? And they may mock you for it. They may laugh at you for it. They may ridicule you for it until the hour of need is upon them. Until everybody's coming down on them, until they're beginning to realize that they might need a Savior and some salvation after all. They're going to see you and say, what is it? When they're depressed, when they're down, when the whole world is coming down on their heads, which it is all the time, there may come that moment they're going to know where to go to, not just because of what you said. And for sure, we must preach this gospel. We must preach this gospel, but we must live this gospel. See the love that they have one for another. Look at some of this stuff a little bit. We've got like 10 minutes left. Go to Matthew 5. Verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Boy, that can be a tough one, can't it? Can it? Again, I don't want you to raise your hands. When we first started our little friends across the street and you saw what was written on their signs and you read some of their blogs and you saw the newscast, what was on Fox News, how many of you guys had some stuff rise up in you? Can I tell you what was in my heart? Murder. Murder was in my heart. I don't mean literally wanting to go over there, but an animosity, an anger, not the anger that's be angry and sin not, wanting to take vengeance, wanting to just go put them in their place, wanting to see them just, that was my initial reaction. That's where I was when we started. When we ended, I say ended, you know, when it subsided, I was in a completely different place. Lord, please open their eyes. They're bound by the devil. They don't realize the danger, the slippery place that they're standing in. They don't realize they're on the very precipice of eternal damnation, that they're going to be bound hand and foot forever. They don't know if they're going to be lost. All of a sudden, their fears are going to come upon them, sudden anguish and torment. And the realization, that moment happens when all of a sudden they close their eyes on this life and open their eyes to the next one, that they're lost. Set them free. Show them. Let them repent. Grant them repentance, Father. Peradventure. You grant them repentance. Please save them. And not just out of obligation, but out of a sincerity and genuineness of heart, realizing that I myself am that guy across the street. A song that I like, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Second verse, ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. That's you. That's me. I mocked. I have been angry at the people of God and at the men of God before, unjustly. Okay? I'm not excusing any of this, any of the evil of your enemies. You know, the fact is, most of our enemies, I don't mean our specific enemies here. I mean, in general, the enemies of God, all the enemies of God eventually are going to have justice served upon them if they do not turn and repent. But that's who we were. We were hostile toward God at one time. We were hostile toward Him. Our minds are controlled by Satan. And even now, it's a daily battle sometimes. I was under such a persecution and an attack the other day, just in prayer. I mean, I was in here all by myself in this sanctuary, had been here for an hour or so, and the pressure was on me so much, just crazy thoughts. No, and I'm not a lunatic. I don't deal with depression or any of these things. I don't understand depression all that much. But I do understand oppression. And it was on me so much I could barely stand. It took me hours to battle through, just to break through, to get past all this craziness, all this stuff, things that may have been done to me that were unjust, things that I just perceived were unjust, things that I was like, I've forgiven people for this a long time ago, or I have moved past it and realized that I'm the man, things that were under the blood, gone, done, and getting pulled back up out of the pit, and having to fight those, and how I caught myself entertaining some of it for moments at a time. And then would pull those thoughts down by the grace and the mercy of God. See, we need His grace each and every day. And it wasn't until I pressed through to His presence and I was like, Lord, I'm the man. Change me and my heart. These people are all great. I need help. And asked the Lord to do a work inside of me. And the enemy started to flee. And he did flee. And he's gone. He's coming back. He's gone for that day. I want the same thing for these people. Pray for those who persecute you, those who despitefully use you. Pray for your enemies. Love them. Do good to them. I'm not saying go have dinner with them. We can't be contaminated in that sense, and you understand what I mean. We cannot be leavened. But you do good. You do good to them. Where were we? What verse were we in? I didn't understand anything, a word you just said. One person, say that loudly so I can hear. Where were we?
Matthew 5:43.
43, that's what I was looking for, the 43 part. Okay. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Listen to this next statement, verse 45. In order that what? In order that your Father, in order that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. So if you want to be a son of God, now we're not getting off on a theological talk here. We know it's by the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus and the faith in that. But it is demonstrated in who you are and how you conduct yourself. You know, faith without works is dead. That whole James thing. It is demonstrated through these type of things. Okay? If you want to be the sons of God, because He was kind, gracious, compassionate, merciful, died on the cross, gave Himself to a hostile people, loving the people as they were driving the nails in His hands. Father God, forgive them. They know not what they do. railing on him, murdering him. We see it as a sacrifice. They saw it as an execution and a murder. If you want to be the sons of God, pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for your enemies. Do good to those that persecute you, that abuse you. It is a reflection of the changed life of who you are. Hebrews says, consider him who endured such hostility against himself, endured such things at the hands of sinners. A little paraphrased. Jesus took the hit. He took the brunt because he loved, because he gave, he sacrificed, he surrendered. And he requires no less of us. Those people at the office who, they're just nasty, ornery individuals, perhaps. You know, they're just sitting here to persecute me and to cause me to stumble in my walk. Man, nobody can cause you to stumble in your walk. You can cause you to stumble in your walk. You're stumbling because somewhere in you, you're alive enough to think that you're important enough that you shouldn't receive this persecution, that you shouldn't be undergoing this trial, that you're better than that. Who do they think they are? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? I fight that every day. Les, who do you think you are? I'm... Yeah, no one. No one. I'm not important. The Lord loves me. I'm important to him, but I'm not important. I could die today and the world wouldn't miss me. I'm not important in that sense. I don't like the songs. Lord, help me to understand that I'm someone worth dying for. You don't need to understand that. You need to understand that it is by grace you have been saved through faith. That he is good, he is merciful, he is compassionate, he is kind, he is loving and forgiving. And how can we be any less? We are indebted to all men to preach them the gospel, to love them, to show them Jesus, to be that city on that hill, to let them see that we are different, to not respond in kind, to do good to those. That is crazy talk in the eyes of the world. Are you kidding me? This person's out to get you. You know, they're after your position. They're a snake. You know, they were in there just talking to the boss about you. Do you know what they said about you? Doesn't matter. My job's not my source. God is my source. Are you jealous for my sake? Are you concerned about me? Is that, I just want you to know, I want that person to come to know Jesus. I forgive that person. You take people back. What's wrong with you, man? They don't know what to do with it. They might mock you because of it. That's okay. They persecuted him. They're going to persecute you. They mocked him. They're going to mock you. It's okay. God knows. And the honor will be to him on that day. What you've done will be shouted from the housetops. Not just the bad stuff gets shouted from the housetops, people. The good stuff does too. You will receive reward from the Lord. I'm not getting into the rewards of the Lord right now, but your God sees and he knows. It hasn't gone unnoticed. Also, we're not going to go here because we're about out of time. You don't need to vindicate yourself. You don't need to take your own revenge. You don't need to go to HR. Well, I got to go defend myself. No, you don't. I thought Jesus already defended you. I thought he already died for you. I thought he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things we have to do. Yeah, but it's my job and my position and my reputation. It's going to be tarnished. The name of the Lord is going to be tarnished if my reputation is tarnished. Is it? I wonder if Jesus' reputation was tarnished and his name was blasphemed. I wonder if all men spoke evil of him and even his closest associates forsook him and abandoned him because they didn't want to be associated with the shame of the cross. They didn't want to face the priesthood and the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees who had him in trial. They didn't want the humiliation of that. I wonder if Jesus' name was ever tarnished for the sake of those who hated him because he loved them so much. See, we're different. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. There must be a difference, not just a visible difference, a real, genuine difference in you and I. It's a decision. It is a decision. To humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Commit your ways to him in all that you do. Let him exonerate you. Let him exalt you. Let him place you. Let him bless you. You don't need to do it for yourself. We're out of time. Father, we just thank you tonight for your word. We just are so grateful for the shed blood of Jesus on the cross, Lord. And there's nothing new that was shared tonight. Father God, you've been sharing it with us for months and weeks and years, Lord. Our desire is to be doers of the word and not just hearers, for you to conform us to your image, Lord, that each and every one of us would make that decision to surrender ourselves completely to your will, to trust you and to give our lives fully over to you, to be that city on a hill, to be that light that's not under a bushel, to be that salt, to be those ones who show Jesus to this world, not just through our words, but through our lives as well, Father. Lord, we just want to continue to lift up all the people who are not with us, those that are in Ohio right now at the basketball tournament. We just pray for excellent opportunities for them, for open doors of utterance. As we've said, we're there playing some basketball, so we have nothing else to do, but we're there to preach the gospel. We're there to lift up your name and for people to see you guys are different. What's your secret? Well, our secret is Jesus. We thank you for that, Lord God, and we're looking forward to excellent reports as to how lives are touched and changed. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Can't think of anything for you to turn and say, so don't say none. Have a good night.